One day, the real you and me will shed this tent and we will find ourselves residing in that spiritual body. In every way, we will be spiritual beings. In both spirit and body, we will be perfectly suited for heavenly living, for the eternal realm.
Today on Seeds of Camilla, Lance Cook will continue a series of studies in 1 Corinthians 15 dealing with the resurrection from the dead. And what we have been learning in this section is not just about the resurrection of Christ, but we're considering the power of God and the kind of bodies God has in store for the believer. That's what we'll consider today in 1 Corinthians 15. So with today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
When it comes to resurrected bodies, God has no problem because we can look at the uniqueness and the diversity of God's creation. And when you do, you realize you can't limit Him. There's no two people that are exactly alike. We know that. When He begins to talk about all flesh is not the same, verse 39. Look around. No two people are exactly alike. And then you look at the fish. It's the same there. Flowers and snowflakes. Blades of grass. There's an amazing distinction in the glory of all of those earthly forms. Each is completely identified with its own species or kind. Each individual plant or animal or human being has its own unique grouping. The biological codes are binding them in that uniqueness. And we know there's no repeatable or demonstrable scientific proof that one form of life has ever changed or could change into another. So we have to say, sorry, Mr. Darwin, on that one. But we look at this and we look around at nature. We look at the plant life. We know that it's got to die. But then we look around at God's ability as we look at people, as we look at flesh, the animal kingdom. We look at the fish and we say, wow, God's creative ability and His capacity it extends. It's far reaching. And as we look up as well, the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and the stars, they obviously differ greatly from, you know, the earthly bodies in glory and nature, manifestation and form and whatnot. But they also differ from each other. The sun is greatly different from the moon, and both are very different from stars and other planets. The stars, of course, generate their own life, but the planets and the moons reflect light that is produced by the stars. What is Paul's point in bringing all this up? Well, with what body do they come? How does he deal with that? How is he answering that? Well, he's saying, if God is able to make all kinds of different bodies for men down here, as we look at flesh, animals, fish, birds, and on the earth and whatnot, and make all kinds of diverse bodies up in the heavens, why can't He make for us a new body at the resurrection? A body that would be suited for eternity. God has infinite creative capacity, is what Paul is inferring. One of the most obvious, you know, things about this is that God is not limited. Why would anything or anyone think that it would be hard for Him to recreate and resurrect human bodies, no matter what the form might be? Then he goes on in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and then there is a spiritual body. Now, here Paul begins to contrast the earthly body to our resurrected bodies that we will have as believers one day. Corruption and incorruption is the first contrast in verse 42. This first contrast pertains to durability. One of the most obvious characteristics about all natural life, including human life, is that it is perishable. Natural life is subject to deterioration and eventual death. In every infant that was born yesterday, that process of deterioration has begun. Even in the healthiest of people that are trying to convince themselves they're not going to die, they're not going to die, they're not going to die, I'm going to look younger tomorrow than I am today. Whatever you put on, whatever you do, the fact still remains. Someone was sharing with me after service earlier today that they went and saw an interview with Jack LaLanne. I said, I remember that guy. He's the first guy I ever saw wear spandex and look good. But Jack LaLanne, like 200 years ago, was buff. He's, you know, pushing, I think he just crossed the 90 barrier, and he still looks good, and he's trying to convince his wife that he wants to swim underwater to Catalina and back and all those things. They're all interviewing him and whatnot. And he goes, and I just stood there, I couldn't believe it. So I went up, and I touched his arms. He's as hard as a rock. And I go, yeah, I know, I got that going on too. You know, I understand what you felt. But I said, yeah, but it doesn't allow him to defy the second law of thermodynamics. It doesn't allow him to defy what God said would happen to Adam and Eve and their line that would follow. And that is, you're going to die. So Jack LaLanne might be the most buffed corpse one day. You might be the most best looking, just happening, doesn't even look their age, corpse one day. And it's okay. For the believers, it's okay. We all, of course, are subject to deterioration, and that's the natural body. Eventual death, that's the natural body. Paul says, you need to understand that. All came from the dust, and all will return to the dust. Ecclesiastes 3:20. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verses 14 through 16, for God himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Yet when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place remembers it no longer as well. At every gravesite, this becomes more than obvious. That which is sown, or that body which is sown in corruption. Corrupt, subject to disease, subject to decay, deterioration, and now death. Without exception, every human being is sown or born with that perishable body. Yet, Paul says, in contrast to that, the Christian, because of Christ's resurrection, we can say that that is not the end of the story. He says, we are raised in incorruption, power. That means we are given this spiritual body. In that body, it is so different. In our natural body, we have sin and we are reaping the effects of the sin. In our new bodies, that is not the case. In this natural body, we're weak. We're in constant need, especially as we get older, of tune-ups. In our new bodies, that's not the case. I don't know if you've ever bought a car or something and they've, you know, mailed you this thing and you open it up, it's from the dealership and you're thinking they want me to buy another one. But no, it's a recall slip. It's a recall. There's something wrong with that brand new vehicle. You got to get back and we got to fix it. In our new bodies, it'll never be the case. In heaven, there's not going to be recall slips. Would such and such please report to such and such? We've got to, you know, tune you up a little bit. But man, as we get older here, it seems like it's just a recall season. Man, I got to go get this fixed. I got to go get that fixed. I got to go get, you know, and that's, we're not having any, you know, fun with the older crowd here. I thank God for all of you that are in that recall season. I really do. But it's reality. I sit down, I listen to, you know, some of the older ones around here talk. You know, I'm getting there, by the way. And it's like, yeah, I'm going over here this week. I'm going to fix that. And I'm going over here fixing this and this and that. And it's like, man, they're busy fixing up things. And I'm realizing I just turned 25 or it's 45, excuse me. But I'm into the recall season pretty quick here. That's just where we're going. Some of you are like, not me. I'm like Jack LaLanne. Yeah, Jack's got a couple recall slips, I'll tell you. But not in heaven. That's not going to be the case. The resurrected body of the believer will be raised in an imperishable body. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I love that. I can't wait. No more sickness, no more decay, no more deterioration, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow because of all that pain. And it's imperishable. It's not going to perish. There's nothing's going to happen to that. And it's reserved in heaven for you. How many of you guys like reservations? Now, tell you what, I want to make my wife feel special. I take her to a restaurant and they walk in. I say, cook party of two. Oh, Lance, you called, you made reservations. Yeah, McDonald's, I'll do that too. But I love that. There's something about that. It's reserved and I'm there and there's someone waiting for me and it's prepared and they're expecting me. There's nothing worse than going to a restaurant, man. You've been waiting, you're hungry, and you go there and they're like, cuckoo, party of what? We don't have you down. You know, one of my favorite restaurants is notorious for this. It's a restaurant I always go to. I'm really hungry because they have huge portions. It's Claim Jumper. I don't know about that place sometimes. You could go there, man, and then you pull up and you say, what's up? Everybody's outside. Well, that's the people waiting to get in. You get up there and they give you some hillbilly name. Hold this card. Now go outside and wait for about 8 hours. We'll call you. But I'm hungry. I'm hungry now. Yeah, wait till after you're done waiting for 8 hours. You'd be really hungry. I don't like that. I like going to a place, and this is the way it's going to be in heaven. They're not going to say, hold this, wait out there. Man, the reservation has been made, sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get there in my glorified body, by the way, and I'm going to hear the words prayerfully as you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The same God who knows me by name, the same God who knows the number of hairs on my head is going to say, it's all reserved, it's all taken care of, come on in. And that's the beautiful thing. And when I go in that glorified state, it is imperishable. Undefiled, will never fade away. Beautiful hope, beautiful promise. The second contrast is that of dishonor and glory. At the fall, that which was created to bring honor to God failed. When God looked at Adam and Eve, we were the creation there, the humans there. We were the crowning act of His creation. And they were designed to bring honor to God. How? Through obedience. The moment that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, guess what? Those tents, that flesh that was designed to characterize honor to God, now demonstrated dishonor. And as beautiful as our little pudgy babies come out with some of this full hair, I've been seeing some of these new babies around here, man. I'm like, wow, look at all that hair. I know a lot of guys around here that want that hair. It's a lot of hair. Beautiful. Blue eyes, brown eyes. You got giggle, tickle, tickle. They're cute. Dishonor. Do you realize in a sinful, fallen state, flesh, it characterizes dishonor. That's what Paul says. Now, we can honor God through that dishonorable tent, can we not? Yes, we can. We can be obedient. But in that particular rite, Paul says, it is sown in dishonor. I think about that. The state of dishonor. The state of imperfection and incompleteness. But he contrasts that to glory. Your new glorified body will bring great honor to God. It will be absolutely perfect. Absolutely complete. Throughout eternity, our new immortal bodies are going to bring honor, be pleasing, and bring praise to God as we enjoy Him who made our new bodies and redeemed us and restored us. Then in verse 43 as well, the latter part, the third contrast is weakness and power as well. Our present bodies are characterized by weakness. We see that in the area of endurance, resistance to disease and harm as well. No human is immune from breaking a bone or cutting themselves or catching some sort of illness, infection, disease or whatnot, and eventually from that of dying. Our earthly temples are inescapably temporary and fragile. Last night I had a guy come up to me on crutches and he goes, amen. And Sean, he's a guy, he does a lot of working out, man, buff guy. He goes, you're not going to believe this one. Try me. I wasn't even working out. I just was moving my weights from one point of the room to another. And I dropped a big 40-pound dumbbell right on the top of my foot. My foot broke. Ah, yeah, I've been there. It hurts. But we're not above it. These bodies that we are born with are characterized by that. But it is not so with our new bodies, which will be raised in power. We're talking about serious abilities. No limitations. Anything I believe our heavenly spirits determined to do, our heavenly bodies are going to be capable of doing. I don't know what it's going to be like to live in a realm, in a consciousness of knowing I'll never have a problem with my dwelling. It's not going to feel pain. It's not going to feel sorry. It's not going to have any limitations. It's not going to fail at any point in time. We're not going to die. No sorrow, no tears, no suffering. Think of that environment. It's truly heaven, is it not? The fourth contrast is the natural to the spiritual. Understand, again, our earthly body is strictly natural. That is the only realm in which it can live and in which it can function, is in the natural realm. The physical body is suited for and limited to the physical world. Our present bodies are wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, the Lord says, but they're fearfully and wonderfully made for earthly living. They're suited for earthly living. That is the only realm from which they are suited. But our new bodies, the new body of the believer that will be raised with a spiritual body, one day the real you and me will shed this tent and we will find ourselves residing in that spiritual body. In every way, we will be spiritual beings. In both spirit and body, we will be perfectly suited for heavenly living, for the eternal realm. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 20, the sons of this age, talking about people who live on earth, they marry and are given in marriage. He went on to say, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age, the eternal age, and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, for neither can they die anymore there. For they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Now, we will not be the same as angels, but we will be like them in that we too will be perfectly equipped and suited for the heavenly eternal realm. So some people, and I've been at some funerals where I've heard people get up and say, you know, such and such is gone, but we know they've got their wings. I'm thinking, what, a butterfly, bird? And they don't even know, you know, but they're usually referring to their angels now, and they've got their wings. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. Angels were created at a specific time for a specific purpose. I was created for a specific time with a specific purpose. And my boundaries on this earth have been pre-appointed by God, Acts chapter 17. There's going to come a time when I'm going to shed this. And now he has another glorified body that is not angelic. As I read my word, I see I'm not going to be an angel. So when you go to these funerals, they're saying, oh, such and such is an angel. They've got their wings. Just go, no. Don't tell them, don't freak them out, but in your heart say no. And for you, that kind of picture, well, what are they? You know, maybe some of you picture, you know, an angel like what Isaiah saw with the cherubim and the seraphim and the few wings and the six wings and everything. It's like, I'm this big old thing, like Michael the archangel. That's what I'm going to be like. It's not what Scripture supports. For you that might even have a limited comprehension of thinking, maybe I'm going to be one of those little pudgy things. Big old rosy cheeks. You go into heaven and he puts pudgy cheek on both cheeks. And here's a harp. And you get that cloud. No, not the deal. You're going to have a glorified body. An incredible glorified body that is suited. As we look to Jesus as the example again, you realize he appeared, do you not, in a glorified body when he walked those days after his resurrection on the earth. He walked. He was perceived to be a man by Mary in the garden. Not at first did she recognize him as her risen Savior. But as he began to talk and said her name, oh, Rabboni, she recognized him. Peter recognized Jesus too when he went back fishing with the disciples and they were out in the boat and saw Jesus on the beach. He didn't go, look at that angel. Look at that pudgy cheeked, all these wings on the guy. You know, he didn't say that. It's him. He took off his outer robe, dove in and swam in. I believe Jesus had a similar form. When he met with the disciples and they were in the upper room right after the resurrection. They were all freaked out and afraid. He didn't walk through the door. I always loved that part. He just kind of showed up, walked through the walls. Something about that glorified body that intrigues me, you see. In 1 John, it says, when we see him, we will be like him. Fascinating. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to get to this topic again. And Paul is going to be talking about death. And he's going to talk about putting off the tent. He uses the metaphor of a tent. And he's going to say this. When we die, man, we're not to be found naked as if we are to be unclothed, but further clothed. A lot of scholars scratch their heads and they say, well, at death, we're not sure if the new glorified state is nothing more than the spirit of the person going up, and heaven is filled with spirits. I have a hard time with that one. I see Jesus down here in a glorified body and I go, there's more. Jesus, he made bread and prepared fish and ate it with Peter. In heaven, I don't see spirits flying around. I see people around there, and not people, but in glorified bodies with a tangibleness to them, a recognizableness to them. And I think we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be amazed. We're going to say, I haven't seen you in 20 years. You look great. Have you ever heard that at a high school reunion? No. What do we hear? We say it, but we don't mean it. We say it, we're lying. They walk away and you go, man, they've aged. Wow. Down here, we look at each other. We're watching each other age. And I watch, guys are funny. We really don't care much in appearance or anything, but we do. Sometimes guys will come up to me and they're looking at me. And sometimes it's, I haven't seen you in a while. You put on some weight? Yeah, I've been hitting the gym. Why? Or they look at your hairline. My eyes are here. My hairline's here. It's like, hey, bro, what's happening? And you know what I'm doing right back at them? Looking at their hairline. Wow. That's in full retreat, brother. We get to heaven, we're not going to be looking at hairlines or waistlines. We're going to be looking at what Jesus Christ pulled off. We're going to be looking at that which followed his resurrection. Glorified bodies in a glorified state. We're going to be amazed. Well, Paul goes on, must we as well? Yes. And so in verse 45 it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have been born in the image of the man of the dust, speaking of Adam, our natural state, we also shall bear the image one day of the heavenly man. Psalmist said in Psalm 103, as the father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are nothing more than dust. In Genesis chapter 2, the creation account, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We are earthly, in the image of the first Adam, as earthen vessels. In the curse, Genesis 3, from the dust you have come, to the dust you will come. The same 17 elements that make up the dust of the field are the same 17 elements that make up our bodies. The first Adam. Then there's the second Adam, which of course points to Jesus Christ. He was more than a living being. Paul says he's a life-giving spirit. In Romans 5, Paul put it this way, as through one man's disobedience, speaking of Adam, the many were made sinners, even now, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous, speaking of Jesus.
Well, today on Seeds of Camilla, Lance Cook has been offering us valuable commentary concerning the resurrection from the dead and the kind of body that God has in store for the believer. There's still much more to learn in this passage of Scripture, and hope you can make it a point to join us for our next broadcast. But in the meantime, if you'd like to receive this study on audio cassette or compact disc, we would encourage you to please specify tape number 4602-37. That's 4602-37. Now, you're welcome to call us at Seeds of Commitment at 714-441-2845. Again, that number to reach us is 714-441-2845. Or write to us at Seeds of Commitment, 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. We love hearing from you as well, letting us know how Seeds of Commitment has been a source of encouragement in your walk with Christ. Again, write to us at Seeds of Commitment, 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. To know more about us, simply go to our website. The address is www.seedsofcommitment.org. That's seedsofcommitment.org. And then make it a point to join with Lance Cook for more rich commentary in our studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.
with my whole heart.